Lecture 33, The Great Patriotic War.
On June 22, 1941, the armies of Nazi Germany invaded the Soviet Union with the stated goal of overthrowing communist rule in Russia, subjugating this country, and indeed all the Slavic lands. This invasion and the war that followed was a disaster, of course, resulted in enormous death and destruction and suffering in the Soviet Union. It was also, though, a story of considerable irony. It had been long anticipated. The Soviet Union, yet despite this expectation of war for some years, was initially terribly unprepared. And the war in another way was ironic in that it was a certain blessing in disguise for the Soviet Union. It enormously strengthened popular acceptance of Soviet power, what might, one might even say the legitimacy of the entire Soviet system for the first full time. In fact, to this day, nostalgia that exists in post-communist Russia, nostalgia for Soviet communism, tends to be tied up with memories of the war years. And this story, the story of this war, is the subject of this lecture. Now, in many ways, as I suggested, this war had long been anticipated, expected, and of course, feared. Since 1917, when the communists came to power, Soviet leaders had been constantly predicting that there would be some great confrontation between the capitalist world and the communist world, which of course meant the USSR. This seemed especially likely in the 1930s with the rise of fascism in Italy and Germany and Russia. The Soviet Union saw fascism as simply the highest, most extreme form of a capitalist system in crisis. And in fact, the party and the press constantly talked about the likelihood of and the reality of various fascist conspiracies against the USSR. Indeed, one of the key themes, as you'll recall, of the Great Terror was that various Russians were said to be in ally with the fascists. At the same time, because they anticipated such an eventual battle, Soviet leaders did everything they could to try to prevent or at least delay such a war. From 1934 to 1938, Soviet diplomacy followed a policy that was known as collective security. This was a major effort to convince the Western powers, especially Great Britain, France, and the United States, to unite with the USSR in a major and sustained and robust effort to contain the spread of fascism, to contain in particular the danger of a German expansion connected with Nazism. This effort proved in vain. The West, especially Britain, preferred a policy that became known as appeasement to a policy that the Soviets called containment. Also, it's a simple fact that the Western countries, in particular Britain, France, and the United States, simply didn't trust the communist Soviets as potential allies. And so this policy got nowhere. As a result, the Soviet Union decided to go it alone. And in order to prevent a war, made a deal with Germany. The 1939 non-aggression pact, in which both countries agreed not to attack one another, at least not to be the first to attack. And this pact gave the USSR critical space and critical time to prepare for the threat of war. It gave them space in the sense of a buffer zone of newly occupied Western territories, including much of Poland and the whole Baltic region, which was part of a secret agreement connected to the non-aggression pact. This allowed the Soviets to move into these lands to give them a buffer zone. It also gave the Soviet Union important time. Now that the Germans would inevitably, as it was clear once the Germans took their part of Poland, be engaged in a war with the Western powers, this would, of course, allow, again, more time for the Soviet Union to prepare for a war. And yet, despite all the talk about war, despite all of these efforts to give them space and time, when Germany finally invaded the USSR 2 years later, the Soviet leadership and the army and the economy was shockingly unprepared. We see this in the very first days of the war. Most of the Russian Air Force was destroyed on the ground within a few days of the attack.